Yes, welcome to the NBA panel. I'm your host, John Weatherspoon. Today I'm joined by the one and only actor, comedian, Gary Owen. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man?
Everything's good, man. Thanks for joining me. You can tell me on your busy schedule.
No problem.
Yes, you brought in the year in a great way. New Year's Eve, you hosted NYU Takeover with Cedric the Entertainer. You brought in the year, didn't waste any time. Started off strong with 2022. Well, tell us how it is being so busy in all these busy venues you go to.
I'm just happy to be working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the goal. Stay working. Especially when going through a divorce.
Right. tell us about your special Black Famous. I watched it. I liked it.
Yeah. It's just that's... I think that's the most appropriate title I've had out of all my comedy specials. Because I am definitely Black Famous.
You definitely are. So how was it performing in front of your hometown in Cincinnati doing that special? Because you got a lot of love there. You get a lot of love everywhere you go.
Yeah, well, that's like a dream come true. Like, everybody wants to go home and do a special. And then it came out, you know, just like I wanted it. Like, some specials, you'd be like, I should have said this, or I was rushing, or...
Right.
Things like that. This one was, I was right in the pocket. I was paced, and there wasn't a dead point in the hour. Because sometimes right. You watch a special, and you'd be like, man, it started off strong, or it ended strong, but you'd be like 15 minutes, you're like, what did I just watch? I didn't comprehend any of that. I really
right.
feel like this whole hour was just solid. And it was a right. lot of storytelling. It wasn't so much... But a bum bum joke punchline. It was a lot of stories.
Right, right. I'm glad you're still on the squad. I like that part.
Right.
This is your fifth stand-up special on Showtime. Tell us about the experience with Showtime because you have a great partnership.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, it's not through. I haven't tried to get a Netflix special. It just hasn't happened yet. I haven't.
Right.
I've tried to do HBO. It hasn't happened. Comedy Central, but. Showtime, we have a great relationship, and they have an open door for me, and they trust that when they tell me, hey, we're going to do your special, they trust that I'm going to deliver
right.
a good special. So I think this is my fifth Showtime special in
yeah.
the last 10 years. So we're averaging one every 2 years with them. So it's pretty good.
So, take us back to the first time you performed. What was going through your mind? Because you've come a long way. You have a great career.
You talking about the first time ever on stage?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I thought that was it. I was in my closet, like the mirror. I had a sliding door, glass mirror closet.
Okay.
And I was in the mirror practicing my jokes, and I knew that was it. I was about to be discovered.
That's what's
like,
up.
This is it. Oh, tomorrow, it's a wrap. The phone's going to be ringing. It doesn't work like that quite. It's like going to the basketball gym and shooting a three. And making
right.
it and be like, all right, where's the contracts? Where's the NBA contracts? I just hit a three. That was a deep three, guys.
Right. It's all about preparation and on time. Everything happens
yeah.
in time. Definitely.
Yes. But I really thought that. I thought, oh, wow. They're going to – I thought people were going to be like, where's this guy been?
it was time to be discovered. That's all it takes, that one opportunity. And the main opportunity came for you with Comic View in 97. Tell us about that experience.
That was just kind of like, it was the most direct, I don't want to say easiest path to get on TV, but,
right.
you know, I auditioned for the show, I got on it, it wasn't like an acting job, it was just your jokes, and then it was less red tape to get on Comic View back in the day. It was like, you basically
right.
had to get through like two people, and those two people, the powers that be, decided to put me on the show, so... It was, like I said, like, yeah, I got my break at BET, but that wasn't, like, the plan. Like, I want to be on BET right off the bat. It was just, like any comic, you just want to be on TV.
Right.
I said, if I knew Spanish, I would have tried to get on Telemundo.
Right.
you just want to be on TV, man.
Definitely. That exposure. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Having a good set, what goes through your mind when you have a good set? I know with me. As you alluded to earlier, every episode I do, I go back and listen to it. Like, as you said, I could have did this better, said this better, asked that question. When you have a good set, what goes through your mind?
You're just kind of in the moment. It's weird. Like, you're, it's funny, like, I'll watch other comics, and I could see them, like, I could see them being like, oh, yeah, I'm in the pocket this show.
Okay.
It's funny, it's almost like those actors that don't like watching themselves on film.
Right.
I never get caught up in the moment, so to speak. It's just like, I want to keep the momentum going if they're laughing. I want to keep them laughing.
Gotcha.
You know? And it's funny because I watch some comics, and comedians know, there's those certain comedy clubs that laugh at everything.
Okay.
Like, you know, when you go to Columbus Funny Bone or, I don't know, anywhere in Dallas or some of these comedy clubs, you just know you're going to rip. But everybody rips.
Right.
So it'd be funny, like, I'll have openers, and they'll be like, man. And I'll be like, slow down. You're never as good as your best set. You're never as bad as your worst set. So gotcha. Don't beat yourself up if you have a bad set, but don't get so cocky when you have a great set either.
Got you. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Got you. I totally understand what you mean. Totally. You work with some of the best in the industry: Kevin Hart, Ice Cube, Nick Cannon. You were in some of the funniest movies, like Ride Along, Say Like a Man 1 and 2. I mean, what is it like working with these great personalities you work with?
It's odd to me because, excuse me, sir, when you're on set and you're friends with these guys beforehand, like I've known Kev for 24 years now.
Okay.
You know, I started doing stand-up with Nick in San Diego.
Okay.
And they're the same. When it's just one-on-one and you're on set, you don't have people pulling at you anyways. You can actually sit down and you're honestly talking like you do it anybody else. How's the kids? How's the wife?
Right.
What you got coming up? But it is a cool feeling to, I guess, from the outsider looking in, that
right.
I have these conversations with these people, and they let me into their world because they know I'm not going to there's no, like, hidden agenda with me.
Right, okay.
It's like I generally care about these people, and I want the best for them, and I feel like they want the best for me. And then
yeah.
The trust factor, like, some of the stuff they tell me I would never share because they're trusting me with stuff going on in their lives, you know?
Right. It's important to surround yourself with a great supporting cast and the right people around you. Because as you know, the bigger you get, the more people trying to get around you, someone has the best interest for you at heart. You got to weed out people and make sure the best people are around you at all times.
And you got people that you let into your world and you trust them. And I've dealt with this as a stand-up. You know, they become entitled.
Okay.
And you're like, whoa. What just happened? You're turning into what I'm supposed to be.
Gotcha.
I've seen that happen a couple times.
You mentioned the Funny Bone. Are there any other venues you like performing at? You stay at packed out venues all the time, sold out.
Yeah, it's more cities that I like. Like, I'm sorry, I'm drinking a latte. And
you're good.
you cough anymore? People are like, whoa.
Right.
this is just some almond milk stuck in my throat. Don't get twisted. No, it's more like the cities I look forward to going to because I have friends there or stuff to do there. So the, you know, like you said, you get to a certain point, you know, most of the clubs are going to be packed out.
Right.
And once the bigger you get and people pay to see you, you know, the laughs are pretty consistent. You're not getting the hecklers, so to speak.
Got you. Tell us about your podcast, Get Some with Gary Owen. You have some great guests on there. Some great guests.
Yeah. I was one of those for a long time, like, thought, I'm not doing no podcast. I'm too busy. I would never do that. And then an opportunity arose, and I go, whoa, a podcast is a great way to expand your audience
right.
and bring in a new audience. And I like bringing in the comedians because 90% of my guests are comedians. And it's just a way for us to chop it up and tell war stories on the road and stuff we've
right.
gone through. And we got that camaraderie together. So it's really good. It's almost like a class reunion every episode when I bring on somebody.
Right. Tell us about tour life. As I said, you do sold-out shows every other week, every week. So how is tour life for a famous comedian as yourself?
Well, it's funny. The older you get, the less exciting it gets. in the beginning, you're so excited because it's new, you're in cities, you're tapped in socially into every city. You can kind of get into most of the nightclubs if you want to go that route.
Right.
And then the older you get, now I'm looking for coffee shops. I'm looking for, like, where's the Orange Theory?
Yeah.
It's that type of deal now. It's like, okay, where's the gym at? Where can I, you know, work out a little bit? Look, I'm a foodie, so I like finding good restaurants.
Okay.
So it's a lot tamer once you're over 40 on the road, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Your time as a comedian, how has the industry changed over your career, you think? Because, you know, with the explosion of social media, everything you do, everything you say, like, immediately can be seen by thousands of people, especially someone with your following.
Say that again?
I said, for you, how has the industry changed over the years, especially with the expansion of social media?
Well, that's the thing. You have to grow with changes. You can't be stuck in, I'm not doing that. That's for the young kids. So let's take TikTok, for instance.
Okay.
Now, I don't have the time or the energy or the creativity, to be honest, to do some of these videos that I see these millennials doing.
Right.
And, you know, how they put the song together with the dance. And, da, da, da. And I'm like, yo, I watch it. I enjoy it.
Right.
But that's not me. So I told my team, I said, look, I have a huge catalog of stand-up.
Right.
Let's start cutting my jokes up, putting them on TikTok, and it's a new audience for me. And
exactly.
There's some jokes that are like 10 years old that is getting a new life off of TikTok.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's funny, like I said, I'll just be a stand-up guy on TikTok. I'm going to go with my bread and butter, and then we'll do, if we get a funny snippet from my podcast, we'll pop that on there.
Okay.
But, it's just keeping up with the times, and it's a new audience.
Definitely. How important is it? I know for me, you have to stay consistent and never give up, because things won't come at you every day to try to stop you from fulfilling any dreams you have. For you, how important is it to never stop and stay consistent?
I mean, that's the goal of the business. It's just, like I said, people say, what do you like? I ask this question too, like, what do you like better, film or TV?
Okay.
And I'm thinking every TV appearance, every film appearance, whether it's a talk show, game show, sitcom, or whatever, I'm looking at it like, okay, this is a way to build more fans on the road.
Right.
And I want to do, and I know it sounds tragic, but I don't want to go out that young, but the way Bob Saget went out, people got to look into how he passed away. He was in a 4 seasons in Orlando, Florida. So he's in a 5-star hotel.
Right.
In the bed, comfortable. Was booked and busy, had tour dates on the books. He just posted, I was in this city,
yeah,
and I can't wait to get to the next city.
Right.
And I'm going, that's it. Like, that's almost God saying, look, you did your job, I'm going to bring you home peacefully. Now, I don't want to go out that early, 65. That's not old, but that's not young either.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, that was not a tragic ending.
Right.
That was almost like Romeo and Juliet type stuff for stand-ups.
Yeah, because he was in the midst of doing exactly what he loved doing.
And he wasn't at a Red Roof Inn. He wasn't struggling. He was at the Four Seasons. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he went to sleep happy. That's what I think.
Crazy, man. That's crazy. You're a Bengals fan. How's the last week been for you?
Man, I got a Bengal hoodie on right now, bro. You want to know? Tighten up. We coming. We coming to Nashville.
Yeah, you got the Titans coming up this weekend. Good luck with that. Good luck, definitely.
Yep, I can't wait. We got a squad. It's crazy. I never knew. Like, I always liked Andy Dalton. I liked Carson Palmer.
Right.
I don't. It's hard to put into words what it's like to have a franchise-changing quarterback that you know is going to bring in free agents.
Right.
You know people are going to be on their P's and Q's because they're following his lead, and he's just so cool, man. God.
Right.
I never had that feeling. It's crazy.
Good luck this weekend, man. Definitely. I know you're an NBA, you're a football fan. Are you a Cavs fan, Ohio area?
I'm a LeBron fan.
LeBron, okay.
So I go where LeBron goes. And it's funny, now that my kids are getting older, there's guys in the NBA that my kids went to high school with.
Wow.
So, yes, you right now, like Jackson Hayes for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Right.
And then Miles McBride for the New York Knicks.
Okay.
Those are two kids I saw playing basketball since third grade.
Wow, that's what's up, man.
And they played on the same high school team. And it's funny, like Jackson was a wide receiver and Miles was a quarterback. And they both didn't play their senior year of high school because they were a year apart, but or maybe 2 years apart. But they were a year apart. Yeah, 1 year apart. Because Jackson was a senior, Miles was a junior. But neither of them played their senior year of high school football because Jackson was already getting looks at. He had already committed to Texas. And then Miles had gotten hurt his junior year playing football, and it knocked him out half the basketball season.
Right.
And he was just like, nah, I ain't risking this. But Miles was a freaking good high school quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the cabal.
Yeah, so you're a LeBron fan. What do you think is going on with the Lakers right now? Because they're having some chemistry issues and, of course, injury issues. Anthony Davis is out for at least another month, at least, I think, until after the All-Star break. And right now they're in eighth place and looking in between the play-in, basically.
I just think they're older, and they get caught up with them. And I just think they're older. And then,
right.
You know, we're so focused on the Lakers. Lakers are like the Cowboys of the NBA. Like, the Cowboys lost last week, and I watched.
Right.
I got on the Peloton, and the entire 45 minutes on Fox Sports was on the Cowboys. I go, can we move on? They lost. It's similar to the Lakers. Like, if I'm on the Suns right now, I'm going, hello.
Right.
What about us? We're balling out of control. You know, the Jazz, balling out of control. Mavericks are now starting to put it together. They're starting to separate from that bottom five,
right.
Five to eight. Now they're starting to move up. Who am I forgetting?
The Warriors.
How can I forget about Golden State? Between Golden State and Phoenix, I'm going,
right.
That's the headline news. But you know, we love dysfunction, and LeBron's polarizing. I get it.
Yeah.
But, I just think they're old. I think they're old.
Yeah, we'll see how it shapes up. But I think Vogel's on the hot seat. He might be gone by next week. We'll see, though.
That's crazy to me.
What advice would you give anyone that's thinking about pursuing comedy? Because I know that grind got to be crazy to get to the point where you are right now.
My thing is, as far as stand-up, and you're trying to get put on, and you run into these headliners, and it's weird. Like, everybody I know that opens for somebody on the regular, like, I got my regular opener right now.
Right.
It all happens organically. You can't push it. You push it, you push people away. And never try to be the funniest guy in the room when you're just talking, if you're amongst comedians.
Uh-huh.
And I've talked this with numerous comics, man. It's like, literally, there's nothing worse than somebody clearly trying to get some material off in front of you.
Got you.
You're just kind of looking at it. Let's go back to basketball. It'd be like somebody, like, out to dinner and bringing a basketball and just dribbling. Around the table. You're like, why are you dribbling? I see you can go between your legs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it all happens organic. Just be cool, and it'll happen, man. I had a girl, I'm in Phoenix next week, and I had a girl, a female comic, DM me and said she'd like a guest spot.
Right.
And it was just the way she came at me. It was very like, would love to have a guest spot. I know if you can't do it, blah, blah, blah. And I DM'd her back. I said, do you have anything on YouTube? I looked at it. Pretty funny. I was like, all right. Yeah, I don't mind giving you a guest spot one night. And she was so appreciative of it. But just the way she came at me, it wasn't like, I'm the hottest thing out there. You need me on the show. I'll blow it up. It wasn't anything like that. It was just a, hey, I'm in town. I'd like to work with you. I understand you're busy. It was just,
gotcha.
She came at me so correct. And she's going to be on the show next week in Phoenix.
That's what's up. I know you put in the work, you'll get discovered. You have to keep going, though.
Yeah.
You have to keep going. Gary, thank you so much for your time. I definitely expect out in the future trying to get you back on again. I know you had a busy day ahead of you. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bye.
See you. Yes, that was actor and comedian Gary Owen. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.